I can click through all of these, the history, how we got from 2005, they authorize BOEM to issue leases, and then nearly 20 years later, January 2024, is the first power that's actually generated and going to shore and actually powering households. So, again, I don't think we need to go through the detail of how we got to that, but certainly we know that at the beginning of this administration, the really big bet that was put into the idea of offshore wind, that we would have 30 gigawatts of offshore wind capacity by 2030, which would be a 1,000-fold increase from where they were. And they want to have 15 gigawatts of floating offshore wind by 2035. And where would this happen? And we know where the leases are being sold, and for big numbers. I mean, really big numbers, these leases. You can see the middle and northern east coast, and then the leases that are set out in the Gulf, and then the west coast they already have proposed, but that deep water, obviously, we know we're looking at floating, which the technology they're working on, and certainly it's happening in the North Atlantic, but it's not completely ready for use. But if you do look at the projects that are already lined up, just the pipeline of projects on the leases that have been sold, recognizing we know the cancellations that have happened recently. I'll talk about it a little bit more. They're cancellations, but they were just available cancellations for a fixed fee in order to renegotiate. Because when you have a 10-year regulatory process, the numbers are completely different. And obviously we know what have happened over the last 3 to 4 years, changed the cost of money substantially, and it was a no-brainer for some of those projects to cancel so that they can renegotiate. I think that their funds and the processes are so far along that the ball isn't going to be stopped. I mean, obviously a change in administration could change things and make it more challenging than it is already, but this is where we are. We could hit 50 gigawatts. Now, if anyone asks me personally, do I think we can hit the goal of 30 by 2030? No, I don't think we can. Certainly not where we are right now. But the fact that we have this pipeline is a good thing. Oh, I think I'm going to talk about this one. You'll talk about the next one. You get all the rest of the regulatory ones. Okay. So I mentioned before about the contracts that were canceled. So that was one of the challenges that we would always talk about is the regulatory process. And Dana, I by far defer to Dana of our DC office concerning the regulatory process. But those delays, like I mentioned, you know, made it that they almost were forced into the situation where you have Ocean Wind 1, Ocean Wind 2, and the Empire Wind projects. So we know those have all happened recently. I personally know that there are a lot of negotiations going on. Vessels are still being built, and projects are still being anticipated with respect to those projects, but you also have a lot of others that are already in the works.
So Doug mentioned this is a long, long process. You're looking at 10 years at least from the time you say, I'm going to look at a lease to we're going to start building. It's not an easy process. As you've seen, we've seen them go back again, redo this assessment, redo this analysis. And during that time frame, a lot can change. Interest rates can change. The political environment can change. If you pay attention at all to the Coast Guard Authorization Act and the NDAA every year, you'll see just little things at the end that try to make it easier or harder and then easier again. And so it's really hard for these developers to track what's going on and estimate how much it's going to cost to get this project done. Shortening this process obviously is going to make it a lot easier. It's a lot easier to determine what you're going to need in 5 years versus 10 plus years. So last year, the Builder Act came out, and that attempted to make this process easier. We'll see if it works. What it does is it sets page limits on some of these assessments. It sets firm deadlines, a method by which developers can enforce the deadlines and not let the government just keep going on and on and on and redoing it and redoing it. And so hopefully it'll make it easier. You can see here of the 7.4 gigawatts that have been approved to date, most of them are in the last year. Whether that means we're getting more efficient or it's just been, you know, 20 years since this process started, we don't know, but hopefully these new processes are going to make it a little bit easier to get through. Next, we're going to talk about a major challenge for developers here in the U.S. that they don't face elsewhere, and that is the coastwise laws. The most notable is the Jones Act. That's the one everybody hears about. A lot of the time you'll hear the Jones Act being referred to as all of the coastwise laws. The Jones Act really only focuses on the cargo, on the merchandise, and it requires that anytime you pick something up and you're going to move it from one U.S. point to another U.S. point, it has to be on a ship that's built in the U.S., 75% owned by U.S., and U.S. flag. And that U.S. flag requires an all U.S. crew, which is another big challenge we'll talk about later. There's similar laws that apply to transportation of passengers. So for offshore, that means crew transport, getting people on and off those vessels offshore. Dredging, which comes up a lot for cable lane and pipeline, towing, and salvage. And the big aspect we're talking about here is, what is a point? Obviously, you bring something from New York to down here in Galveston, no-brainer. You need a coastwise qualified vessel. It gets a little trickier when we start looking offshore. Anything in the territorial sea, that's a point. Whether you're floating, no matter what's going on, if you're bringing something from one point in the territorial sea to another, that is a coastwise movement. When we get to the OCS, we need to determine what a point is, and that's been a little tricky. It was pretty stable for a while in oil and gas, and then the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act was amended to make it clear that the coastwise laws are extended to offshore wind development. And that kind of set off this whole chain reaction of, should we review what this really means? And CBP, who interprets these laws, has been changing its interpretation on how it applies to offshore wind. And through that, oil and gas as well, because these aren't two separate areas. I mean, the same construction vessels in some cases and methods are used for oil and gas as offshore wind, in that as soon as you put something down on the seabed, you're creating a point. If it's pristine and you want to take something from a U.S. port and go and put it on the seabed and there's nothing on the seabed, you're clear of the coastwise laws. But as soon as you put some rocks down for scour protection, you put a foundation down, you put a monopile in, you've created a U.S. point offshore. And from that point on, anything you transport between a U.S. point and that construction site has to comply with the coastwise laws. And that gets a little, it gets a little tricky on how we're going to build these offshore wind sites with that in mind, because we don't have any ships that can do this. Traditionally, you have, in other parts of the world, we have all these installation vessels that are capable of going into a port where everything's been staged. They load the monopiles, they load the nacelles, they load the blades, they go offshore, and they put it all in at multiple sites. And then they go back into the staging area, they get more, and they do it again. And we just do this over and over. You can't come to the U.S. and do that because of these laws. So we're looking at a couple of options to get through this. One is, we build our own installation vessel here in the United States. Remember, it has to be built here in the U.S. One of these has never been built here in the U.S. There's one under construction now. Doug's going to talk a little bit more about that.